This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Product Coffee, a podcast where product management leaders share stories, advice, and thoughts on all things product over a cup of coffee. Grab a cup of Joe and join us to level up your product career 30 minutes at a time.
So today on Product Coffee, Kevin and I are going to take a multi-year vision of like predictive what we think is going to happen because of generative AI, technology markets, and all of those things, and see how they play into our lens as product managers. And not just that, but what we would suggest even people to do given the knowledge that's coming. So knowing that, the experience of generative AI and technology, what we've seen is that it's made, so far been able to make some situations, some code, like early easy coding. Like I've gone into ChatGPT and been like, write me a code for an Arduino board that does X, Y, and Z. Right? Or some low level code. And it just spits it out. And to be honest, it works pretty darn good. And there's even better tools out there, right? Like I'm somebody who hasn't really coded heavily in years. And I can like at least ask me to have it write me something in a language for me to pay attention to.
Yeah.
That takes away, in essence, what I learned years ago as an intern. In the same way that I bet if I gave like ChatGPT or some program my, I bet I could give it a strategy deck in the future and have it spit out a roadmap. That would be, isn't that product in a way? Like
yeah.
80% of what we do. So I think what that says for us is there's a lot of interesting risk developments, changes in the market. Some things will change, some things won't change. And we're here to talk about that a little bit today.
I find myself as a builder, like that's kind of what I consider the type of brain or the things that attract me towards different types of work is it's around building things like Legos as a kid, right? Like I love those things. And I love that what you could build with all of these things that it has this, you could just really explore your creativity through building blocks. And I see the internet and the software and the technology space today as the next generation of Lego building blocks, right? It's all these capabilities at your hand. You can go and do whatever. You can build a castle over here. You can whatever you could do. All sorts of fun things with all these Lego building blocks. And I think that's what got me on the topic of thinking about if now, which things like generative AI and all these APIs and level of barrier of entry to coding is lower. And even with the no code tools, it's easier to spin things up and do these things. You almost have the ultimate Lego set. You can build a bunch of things and you can really explore your curiosity. And maybe it's leading towards more of a strategy conversation. But with that capabilities power, I think one, you can run and do these things lean. 10 years ago, you'd have to hire a bunch of people to go and do stand up a web application. Now it's not the case, right? And so you're running things lean. There's more people focused on this product and thing you're building. But also, where do you focus that energy? When you could do a lot, how do you pick? And then how do you make iterative progress on that?
I think on this, it's worth zooming out. And here's, in my opinion, what technology and what the technology market did is we could have an engineer sit in a room or a couple of team of engineers sit in a room, create a product, and then via the internet, make that product vastly sold to anybody across the world, right? In the digital landscape. It didn't have the same challenges as a physical product, right? A physical product must be manufactured. It must be shipped to a certain destination. It often requires a bigger team to support it. Technology, at the end of the day, any type of technology is a product. And I think what this tells us is that potentially we are going to make technology products easier and faster to develop by lesser amounts of people, which means we're going to have more of them. When we have more of them in the same audience, they're going to be competing against one another more regularly. And when they're competing against each other more regularly, does that mean that it's still as valuable of a space to be in? And I think about how when I take a step back and I think about the digital transformation, it really just meant, and you look at these big corporations in the US, fundamentally, they leverage technology to sell their products and services to vastly increased audiences that they couldn't get otherwise. A grocery store is inherently limited by its geography, unless you're a grocery store that manages to pack and sell things online and ship them to certain areas. But even then, you're fundamentally limited in some ways. And software-only products have always gravitated toward these high valuations because once created, they can be sold endlessly to huge populations. So there are some interesting things. And when you think about it that way, that what this does is it maybe simplifies that development process. Maybe it simplifies how you can create marketing content or lingo or things. But fundamentally, as a PM, it does not change the fact that you still have to create a product for a target audience, know the price to sell that product to them to, and understand what the true market opportunity is. With a lot of the tools we've talked about, like no-code, low-code solutions, I can spin up a brand new website for a brand new thing in about 4 hours. And I'm constantly running a server of my own where I can go and knock those things off. I can build an e-com store in 30 minutes. Like, it is that simple. And with some of the tools available, you can just upload, like bulk upload all of your products and boom, your e-com store is there and it's ready to go to the world. But that didn't change the fact that at the end of the day, this is still a consumer-driven environment and you have to understand the people and the problems that you are going to be there. Ultimately, that's what we want product managers to do, is they have to take a step back and they have to be able to understand that problem, understand that market opportunity, and be able to be present in that world.
I love that, the market opportunity. And maybe we can go into that too, because I find myself getting engrossed in each one of these phases, which I think leads back into, it's hard to be a one-man band. You can't go and, you know, it's nice to have the person focus on the feasibility versus one focus person focused on the desirability and all these other things. That tripod or the product team, I think, is so valuable, and it's still valuable. But maybe instead of having that tripod supported with another full team, it's just the tripod. And now it's them focused on finding the right market fit for the right customer and developing the product in a fast way and iterating on that and all sorts of things. But
what's funny is that I think what the technology has done, at least as I've seen it, even over the course of my career, is it has simplified the ways in which and the speed at which you develop a product, right? Like, I think about 3D printing when that came out, and I remember a printer that I had that could 3D print ceramic parts, and I had to have a kiln to do that. And all of a sudden that massively changed my ability to prototype that particular part just based on technology. What it didn't do, though, like that, I always fundamentally view the limitation is going to be marketing an audience. And you can rapidly iterate 30 products, and that's cool that you can test them out, and we can use Launch Darkly, and we can use all these different things and drive
data. Once
you're
in that building phase, but where do you point that power at, right? Like, what are the new things or the tactics, I guess, that you can share with our listeners that you're using in your day-to-day to drive that direction, right? Pointing these teams in the right direction.
I think the first thing is like access to data, right? That's always, as a product manager, you're always trying to make data-driven decisions. You don't want to just make assumptions based upon basically nothing. You want to be able to do real task analysis and say, here's what we're doing. In our construction world, my wife and I started a construction company. And one of the conversations we have with people who are building second homes or investment properties is I put my product manager hat on and I'll prepare them a marketability study. What would you take to compete in this area? Like, how would you do it? What would be the features and the functions that are there? And a lot of that is driven by our ability to collect data quickly and accurately using online tools. And there's a handful in my suite that I use where I can run a handful of segmented surveys and pump out ROI projections in 30, 40 minutes, right? But I think it still takes the PM, the builder, the people to take a step back and say, yeah, all right, do all of the numbers work together, right? Can you pull data from 30 different sources and make that connection to drive value? And so for me, that's what I'm using a lot in my career. And I'm working in a lot more platform tech, right? And in platform tech, a lot of the world that we're spending our time in is, what are other companies doing? How are they getting more efficient? How could these tools, if we implement them from a platform standpoint, allow us to develop quicker, faster, and more efficient? That's one of my markers of a good platform team, right? You're ultimately speaking, got three or four goals: cost management, platform efficiency, engineer efficiency, make sure shit doesn't break. Yeah.
I like that.
Half answered your question.
Oh, no, it's good. I think what was really where I seem to be more curious about is that marketability, spinning things up so quick, as you mentioned. I wondered if you could talk about that a little bit more. Let's say that you're working with a new client on this and you're trying to figure out, put together a study for them. How would you approach that today with the tools available?
Give a really recent example. So
yeah.
A client come to us, told us their vision, what they wanted to build, what their budget was initially for this house. And like I said, I think of homes like products. And that's a very different mentality, because that's a new space that my wife and I are exploring, is real estate development. And the first thing I think is, okay, we've got this type of budget. What would the costs on that property be? And so the first thing that I'm doing there is starting to leverage all of the databases, and I actually do have some AI-based search things that can pull for me. What would a potential property tax be? What would be a potential other fees related to the management of an Airbnb or a long-term rental? What does the data show us for long-term maintenance costs on homes in different geographic regions? So I sit down and then I pull that data together and I look at stuff and go, okay, here's the cost. And then I take that step back and go, okay, if our goal is to break even, here's where that number would have to be. Here's how we'd have to do it. And then I go to look at other tools. There's some great ones for analyzing short-term rentals. AirDNA is a great one. I have an advanced account for that, so I can do a lot of market segmentation. And I go through and I start pulling the reports and I start looking at, what are properties that are similar to? What are they doing? How are they look different? How do they stand out? How are they marketing? And then I take that, I go, okay, here's what this property could be worth. And then I build a range. And I say, on the low end of the range, it would be this because of these reasons. And on the high end of the range, it could be this. And then I think there's a last part of this, which is, like I said, really taking a deep dive into marketing. We know some people who run podcasts for their cabin builds. They have massive Instagram channels. And I take each one of those and go, how does that variable stack on top of these other variables? And then we build out a projection and say, okay, I think this is where you could be if you did all of these steps. But last but not least, it might be with your budget, you might not be able to get all those steps. So how do we either then think about, if you could be in this range, does the budget numbers compute? Does the ROI come back together? And we built a sliding scale on it. But like you said, it's a combination of using good tools, using good product knowledge, like thinking about markets, and then doing the work that, to be honest, a lot of other people in short-term rentals aren't doing. They just go, let's buy a house and list it. We take the approach as builders of, we don't believe in that. We believe in creating experiences, and experience-driven things are going to drive value. And that's our philosophy.
Love that. There's a lot of correlations there to software and product and all that stuff. But I know, I think that process makes a lot of sense. And there's another those base 37 signals they were talking about, just go and build something for yourself too. I think that is another approach where it could almost be like, solve an important problem to you. But I think by doing that, you could also miss that opportunity to place a bigger bet in the market. So there's a balance. I think you can do either or both, or like little bits of both. You could focus it on an area or challenge of your need, but you also do this upfront strategy and planning so that you make sure that when you're beginning to build, you're heading in the right direction.
Yeah. It's funny, is like, I've really evolved my personal thinking. I was like thinking back to the first time I did a podcast with you guys and we're sitting having our bagel Friday morning. And the goal back then was just thinking really heavily about technical product management and the things that were in front of us.
That's right.
And over the last couple of years, for me, it's gone, how do I use product process to look at multiple industries and find value? And this is like everything to me, meaning more like, it's everything from like vehicle design, right? Did you build the right car for the right person, for the right user? And the car companies that are hyper successful at that really focus in on it. Like I was listening to a podcast with Jim Farley, the CEO of Ford, and he was talking about how they ditched certain product lines because our goal is to be focused on trucks and the pro consumer. And then our, I think, what did he call them? Like our kind of our special vehicles, like the Mustangs and stuff. Our icons is what he called it. So basically like trucks and icons. As that's a dude who understands his audience, who knows where he's going, like understands the value of those segments. And then I can't help but think like if I was in a town and if everybody was saying like, dude, we don't have enough electricians. First thing that'd be on my mind is either A, I'm going to become an electrician, or B, I'm going to go find out how to hire three of them and we're going to go take over this town.
Hey, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, I like that. That's good. So one thing I wanted to do before we close off, we've been getting some comments and questions and feedback on the app and through Podcasters for Spotify. If you're new to the show, you can leave us a voice message. I think if you're listening to us on Spotify, you can click the link to tell us what you thought of the episode too. And we'll read them on the show and read if you have anything to call out, please do. We can call you out there. But we had a lot of comments on one of our last episodes. Let's see which number that was. I think that was 171. Yeah, with Michelle Bassett. There was a lot of feedback about the audio on that. I apologize for that. We tried to save what we could and it's just end up sometimes these things are edited amazingly. We have lots of time and sometimes we just got to get it out. But thanks for letting us know that too, because we did take another look and see what else we could do there, but we did what we could. Another question here, maybe this is for both Lou and I. This is from Deja Crew, I believe, but says, I would like to know why in all your podcasts you ask questions like you are drilling down your guests to reveal their business secrets. This one's kind of funny. Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's more of me just trying to follow my curiosity. I don't have a specific thing I'm trying to get out of people. I always tell folks that when they come on the show, if there's anything that they say that they don't want on the podcast, we can always omit those things. There's been full podcasts that I've recorded and they said that we couldn't put it out. That happens. But I think it's all done in through the lens of curiosity and not, there's no malintent there.
I think Kevin's a good interviewer and I think that's a strength of being able to really try to dig to get to the truth underneath it. And I try to do this with myself, which is, how can I not use product speak and just make a whole, like every time we're talking, like how can I take it a step further than just product speak and be a little bit more real and authentic? And sometimes that means getting into those things that you wouldn't have otherwise shared. But the reality that I've figured out is that over the course of my time, I could probably tell somebody my next big idea for the coolest thing ever, right? And exactly how I would do it. And the reality is that almost everybody who's going to hear that idea, nobody will ever execute it. Execution's the key thing. And sometimes by talking about your ideas or your things, you actually get people to ask you more in-depth questions, which makes you think about whether or not you're, why you believe what you believe.
That's spot on. I think I'm a verbal processor, so I like to, if I'm trying to figure things out of curiosity and asking those maybe uncomfortable questions or people drilling down to get to the meat of some things and get down to the very authentic, raw things, understanding of the things, that helps me learn. Like I learn so much better when we get to what is actual real, what we're doing in the day to day. So I think that's why I naturally gravitate towards that too. If you want to get your message read on Product Coffee, you can send us a direct message, I think, on our website, productcoffeepodcast.com. Or if you're in the Spotify app, you can just click and answer in the Q&A as well. What did you think about the episode? And just give us some feedback there. Lou, do you want to close out with any homework you might have quickly?
Oh, man. It's the same thing, right? When markets change, And in the world of over a million tech workers in the US being laid off and jobs struggling and things of that nature, put your product hat on and look at other industries, right? Think about how you can bring product knowledge to another industry and drive some value. Because I think what the tech market's telling us at the moment is just, hey, we're trying to sell a product to a massive audience, but even sometimes that massive audience isn't interested in buying. And if they're not interested in buying, you're buying at the right rates. It's all the same challenge. Look for the opportunities, just like you in your role, look for the opportunities in your life too.
Love it. I don't have anything to add to that. That was wonderfully said. Thank you, Lou, for joining. And looks like we finished up our coffee here. So go level up.
This has been Product Coffee, produced and engineered by me, Kevin Gentry. You can now record a voice message and send us ideas or topics to cover, and who knows, we might end up playing it on the show. You can also become a supporter of Product Coffee by contributing a monthly donation to help us sustain future episodes. Please rate, review, and subscribe to Product Coffee on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.